Opportunity to come here and share the gospel with you. I always look forward to coming here. You're just a great group of people, and God has blessed you over the years in some very special ways, and it's just exciting to see what God has done across time with you. And I know that you're out in the trenches. You're out there trying to do what God wants you to do for the Lord Jesus. The songs that were sung in honor of Thanksgiving, recognition of Thanksgiving, fit right in with the message today. We'll be talking about harvest time this morning, and our text is from John, the 4th chapter. And when you think of harvest time, it's right now. And most harvest, of course, has happened. When I went to southeast Arkansas in my first pastorate, we lived out in the farm country of southeast Arkansas. And any direction that you could look, you would see rice, cotton, soybeans. Some of the farmers even raised catfish. In fact, I went fishing on one of those catfish farms one time. One of the neighbors said, Mr. Farmer doesn't care if you go fishing over there. Well, I talked to Mr. Farmer about it later, and he didn't say anything, but he did care. I didn't do it again. The good news is I didn't catch anything either. But all of these crops were testimony that we're waiting to harvest time. Of course, they'd plant them in the spring, and they would harvest them in the fall. And Jesus uses this concept of fields white unto harvest in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John to challenge us to be about the business of harvesting people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give background information before I read the scripture. Most of you remember the story of the woman at the well. Jesus had been in Jerusalem. He was heading north to Galilee, wanting to go to a more secure place. Some commentators think was his purpose for going. And in this process, the quick way and the fast superhighway was right through Samaria. A lot of Jews, however, wanted to take a detour because they just didn't like the Samaritans at all. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. What's not said in that particular passage is that he had a divine appointment with a woman that he wanted to meet. Now, this woman was not a prime candidate for starting the First Baptist Church of Sychar. But she was the one that God was choosing to use to evangelize an entire town. When Jesus met her, he immediately told her, said, you've had five husbands. You're living with a man that's not your husband. In other words, you're a pretty bad woman. And later on, she was to say, come and meet a man that told me everything I ever did. Now, think about that for a moment. What if somebody walked in here and said, Pastor Mike Shockley there last week told me everything I ever did? Well, pretty brazen person for saying that. But that's exactly what she said. In the 25th verse, this woman said, after Jesus had identified himself, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus said, I am the one who speaks to you. And wow, that was a shocking thing. This was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, speaking to her. In our society today, we're faced with a lot of people that reject Christ. Not just some folks, but a lot of them. In fact, Tom Rainier said that today in our changing society, 65% of our churches are either plateaued or going downhill. 65%. In a changing society where we ought to be and must be reaching people for Jesus. That simply means that only 35% of our churches are showing any growth. Tom Rainer, who is the president of Lifeway, said that that holds true for Southern Baptists and probably true for churches across the board of every denomination. Now think about this. Instead of churches growing in our changing society, we're going downhill and downhill and downhill, and our witness is becoming less and less and less all of the time. Well, look in the fourth chapter of the book of John, and we'll begin reading with the 27th verse. Jesus had sent his disciples to buy food while he was talking to the woman at the well. And just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Now those are really strange words, because of all the people in the world, Jesus would probably by custom not be talking to a woman, let alone a woman who was a Samaritan. But then the woman, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap that you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So then the Samaritans came to him and they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Out of one sinful woman's testimony, a whole town was reached for Christ. Not everybody, the scripture doesn't say everybody, but a tremendous number. And the First Baptist Church of Smyrna, or Sychar, was organized. Now, you have to prove it wasn't the First Baptist Church. I'll stand by what I said until you prove different than that. I would suggest to you, beloved, that in the time that we're living in, it is time for us to get a fresh focus in our lives as Christians. a fresh focus. In fact, there are four fresh things I'm going to suggest to you this morning. And the first of it is a fresh focus on the will of God. In John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food," and this is when the disciples were saying, "Hey, come on and let's eat. You know what we're going to do when we get through today? We're going to rush out of here. We're going to head for home or head for Burger King or head for a restaurant. And we're going to do what?" Now, come on, everybody be honest about it. What are you going to do? And that was what was on the disciples' minds. We've gone all the way to town. We bought the food. And Jesus is talking to this woman and they offer him food. And he is saying, "I've got something else on my mind." Now, I'm not against eating. I like it. But I would suggest to you that where what has become oftentimes prime in our lives, we need to refocus in a different direction. Jesus said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." What I really want to eat on, what I really want to chew on, and would like for you to chew on, is that of doing the will of the Father. And Jesus said, and what I really came for, and this was in Luke 19:10, what I really came for was not to sit down and eat with you, although it's recorded where Jesus ate at the table many, many times. And the last thing that he did before he was crucified was set up a very special meal for us. Well, not a meal, but a memorial, the Lord's Supper. But Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father that we're still in the business of seeking and saving that which is lost. We sing that song, "More, More Like Jesus." More, more like Jesus. And if our focus is really right, we're going to be focusing on seeking and saving that which is lost. Over the years, I've made a habit of trying to interact with the clerks in the stores, the wait people at the restaurant. You do the same thing, most of you do. And it's interesting when you begin to interact with them and you say, "How are they doing?" that usually they say, "Just fine, just fine, just fine." But let me give you an experience. I was out at Sam's Club a few years ago, and I said to the lady that was checking me out, "How are you doing?" "Fine." And, you know, not only was it in her voice, but it was in her entire expression. And I said, "You're not doing so well." She said, "No, I'm not. My son was just shipped out to war." And it was just tearing her up. And there was nobody else in line. I said, "Hey, do you mind if we just pray for him right now?" And we did. I was back in a few days later, and she was smiling, and she said, "Thank you so much for that. It meant so much to me, and my son's doing just fine." And on it went. Just a slight witness that was there. There was a checker that said to me one, and now these were strangers to me. They didn't do this because I was preacher, but because I was available. And I would suggest to you that when we get that fresh focus, beloved, we become more available to do what God wants us to do, His will, of seeking and saving that which was lost. There was the checker that I met one time going through a divorce. We didn't have time to pray there, but I promised them that we would pray. There was the waitress that received Christ in a restaurant when Toby Williams and I visited with her on one occasion. We asked first, may we pray for you? And she said, oh, please do. And then later on, we were the only people in the restaurant. Talking about a special meeting, special intention. The woman was the only person evidently at the well, and we were the only people in the restaurant. And over the course of the next while, she received Christ as her Savior. Always tell them you can pray for them. There are a lot of people out here that need you badly. They need you to be freshly focused on them. And with that fresh focus, may I suggest to you that we need a fresh view as well. And this woman had gone back to town, and she had rallied the troops, so to speak, and say, come and see a man that told me everything I did. I'm sure there was some wag there who said, woman, there hadn't been enough time for anybody to tell you what everything you did. But Jesus was with the disciples back at the well. And in the distance, the commentators say they could probably see the people coming, and there were crops around that were planted, and Jesus used this teachable moment. And he said, take what you're looking at and let's translate this into something spiritual. Don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest. Rather, open your eyes, get a fresh view, and look at the fields. They are ripe right now to harvest. I remember the youth workers that said to me on one occasion when I asked them what they were doing to reach young people for Jesus. Oh, we're not ready for that yet. We're just getting ourselves ready. And then when we get ourselves ready, meaning the whole youth group, then we'll focus on the harvest of lost souls. But here's what, and there's folks thinking that right here, if I could just get ready, I'd go harvest. Jesus said, don't you say there's 4 months to harvest. It's hollering and crying, screaming, right now, right now. Right now is harvest time. If you live in farming country, it's an exciting time for harvest. Farmers just get so excited. Finally, I've been waiting all year and everything I have is invested in this harvest. I paid for the equipment. I paid for the seed. I paid for the laborers. I haven't had a paycheck in a year. And now it's harvest time. I remember Russell White said to me one time, a friend of mine, he said, I looked out at those cotton fields and they were just begging me to come and get them. And I knew if I could just get the fittings on my cotton picker greased, I could go get a harvest that was going to begin to pay my bills that I've made during the last year. And there is a need for getting ready. We need to grease the fittings. But Russell was saying to me, I'm not waiting 4 months to get that crop out there. It's harvest time. And I'm going after it right now. Do you realize that here in western Colorado, 80 to 90% of the people that we come in contact with every day are lost and on their way to hell, and when they die, they will split hell wide open? That means that when we drive down the highway, every time we pass 8 or 9 cars, they've all been lost. And then comes one that houses some saved people in it. When we walk through the mall, every time we reach and face 8 or 9 people, if they die, they're lost and they're gone to hell. And we meet 1 or 2 who are saved. 80 or 90%. Drive through your neighborhood and count the houses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Lost. 9 and 10. Saved. They're out there everywhere. We need a fresh view of lostness around us. You're about ready to be blessed with a housing division next door. Opportunity to reach more people for Jesus. Pastor Ian told me about that years and years ago. He said they're planning to build this housing division over here. I don't know if it's the same outfit or not, but here it's coming. What an opportunity for you. A fresh view. Don't say there's 4 months and then harvest. And we need a fresh response as well. In John 4, verse 36 through verse 38. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. What was Jesus saying? Here's a guy that sows and here's a guy that reaps. How can the guy that sowed be rejoicing with the guy that reaped? It takes months and months and months for a crop to be planted and to grow. Jesus said, I'm not talking about the kind of harvest where you plant a seed and you wait and wait and wait. I'm talking about the kind of harvest that you're constantly doing all of the time. Somebody has been sowing before you, hopefully, or you'll do the sowing. Thank God for Sunday school teachers who every Sunday talk about receiving Christ as Savior. They're sowing. Since I retired in 2002, I've pastored a number of churches as transitional pastor. And in most of those churches, I've gone in and I've had people receive Christ as Savior, and they'll tell me, Pastor so-and-so, their previous pastor, had impressed on me the need to receive Christ, and I'm coming today to do it. Now, what was I doing? I was harvesting. But Pastor so-and-so and Sunday school teachers and others had been sowing into his life. And when Pastor so-and-so heard about it, he rejoiced because the harvest was complete. And there we were able in the same time frame, in the same period of a week, rejoice together. Don't worry about who gets the credit. Just go out there and harvest. Go out there and sow seed and let the Lord take care of who's going to be able to harvest. But I promise you one thing. God said, my word will not return unto you void. Amen? When you sow, the word will be reaped. A fresh response. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. That's John 15, verse 16. It's amazing that in that verse of Scripture, he's telling us to go out and harvest the fruit. And then he's tied that to answered prayer. He tied it to answered prayer. That's another sermon. You can read on that later, John 15, verse 16. I would suggest to you that doing the will of God involves sharing Jesus with others. And in doing the will of God, our prayers will be answered. And we need not only a fresh response, we need to be responding to what the Lord is calling us to do. By the way, let me give you a cheap way to witness. Have you noticed in our time that everything seems to be based around fun? Fun, if it's fun, it's okay to do it, and you should be doing it if it's fun. And a lot of times, and you've heard this, the weekend's coming up, and somebody will ask you, are you doing anything fun this weekend? How many of you have had that question asked to you? A number of you have. Or if it's Monday, did you do anything fun last weekend? They're thinking about fishing and golfing, skiing, you name it. But I always say, yes. I always answer that question, yes. Oh boy, they smile and say, what'd you do? I said, I went to church. Oh. Or I'm going to church. But do you know what that will also do? It gives you an opportunity to talk about church and invite them to your church and brag on your pastor and brag on your Sunday school class and brag on your fellowship. It gives you an opportunity to do that. Are you doing anything fun this weekend? Some of you got it. Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
Yes.
Yes, you are. You remember that tomorrow. Great opportunity to share. We need some fresh goals. We need some fresh goals in our life. Scripture says in John 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Now, was her testimony something wonderful and nice? It was awful. But they knew her. They knew her. They knew her. And beloved, you know some people. They're not candidates for starting another church either. You know them. And you know them well. And you've avoided sharing Christ with them because they won't listen. You're convinced of it. You've avoided sharing Christ with them because you might embarrass them. You've avoided sharing Christ with them because, fill in the blank. But Jesus spoke to the most unlikely woman in the most unlikely place. And because of that, many in a town were saved. You have no idea what that unlikely candidate can do. Our job is not to evaluate their usefulness or worthiness of the gospel. We need instead to have a goal of reaching those we come in contact with for Jesus. Hear her testimony. He told me everything I did. And the 39th verse of this chapter said, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. All over there are men and women. They want to know who the Savior of the world is. And they've decided it's in yoga or Buddha or fun or playing. And they're waiting for a man or a woman to come and just tell them about Jesus. Just share Christ with them. Let me tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. Give them a minute of your testimony. Pray for them and let God do the rest. A fresh goal. How about deciding that my fresh goal is going to be one. One person reach for Jesus in the next 12 months. Or if that's already your goal, perhaps it'll be two. A fresh goal. A new goal. A new desire to reach people for Jesus. We need a fresh focus on, to sum this up, we need a fresh focus on doing the will of God. We need a fresh view of the abundant harvest that's out there. I told you that I lived in farm country in my first pastorate. And there's nothing that announces it's time to harvest like cotton. All over the field is just white. Just white. 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 Crying out. But I want you to know that we're in a field white unto harvest too. Jesus said so. Not 4 months away, it's right now. And people are crying out. They're begging. Tell me something to give me some hope. Tell me something. A fresh view of the abundant harvest. A fresh response to sowing and reaping. And for a lot of folks, a fresh response would just be some response to sowing and reaping. Because we're going to do it someday. And then a fresh goal. What's your goal? How about refreshing it? Resetting it? And plan to make a difference in the life of somebody in the next 12 months. Make a difference. My wife, as you know, arranges flowers with silk flowers and donates them to churches, never sells anything. And here of late, she has been arranging these flowers and she donates them to the Salvation Army. They sell them and take the money and use it in ministry. But almost always, those flowers will have some kind of gospel message attached to them. Now, if somebody removes them, we don't have any responsibility for controlling of that. Last year, she took flowers to the nursing home. Every one of them had a gospel tract attached to it. And we have no idea what impact it made. That's God's business. You see, that's God's business. Plan on sowing. Get some gospel tracts. Leave them wherever you go. Do something. Do something different. A fresh go. And may God richly bless you as you go out and you see a field white under harvest. And you go into it planning on rejoicing with the sower as you reap the harvest. And God may use you to sow, that's okay. He may use you to reap, that's okay. But do something for the glory of God. And I wonder if there's somebody here that has not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've heard Pastor Richard preach. You've heard him share the gospel of Christ. He's been sowing. And if you're here and you're not saved, now's the time to let the harvest happen. Now's the time to say, I will receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's our invitation for you to come and make that response. Perhaps you need to come and place your membership here in the church or make some other decision. We invite you to come. We're going to be singing our hymn of invitation. And as we sing, I invite you to come. Let's stand.